This is episode 472 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. I'm joined today by my special guest, my regular guest, my prospect expert, Grant Schiller at OG Schill on Twitter. We talk a lot about what we think the Rangers are going to do this offseason. Who are the other contending teams for these three big shortstop names? And, you know, what do we expect reasonably for the Rangers to be looking for coming up this offseason? Let's get into it right now.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick. Thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. I'm joined today by my most special guest, my esteemed colleague, my brilliant friend, Grant, the OG Schiller. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, I had my very adult dinner of Eggo cinnamon toast waffles, and I'm ready to go.
Man, you got the full breakfast.
It's part of a healthy meal.
It is the healthy meal. You know, they tell you that just so you know want to buy vegetables, but they're just conning it. You don't really need fruits and vegetables, just a waffle is fine. My dog, speaking of cinnamon things, I thought my dog was going to eat my cinnamon toast crunch, because I have, like, in my kitchen I have like a big pantry thing on the bottom, on like the ground level, and she's staying with me while my parents are out of town for like nearly a week. And so I kept hearing her, like, I'm just sitting on the couch like watching baseball, and like she's like back over there in the kitchen, which is off to my left. And I hear her like kind of like nuzzling the cabinet. It's like opening and closing it. I'm like, what are you doing, dog? And I go in there and I don't see her. And I'm like, where did you go? This is not that big a kitchen. Like, this is a tiny apartment. Like, where the hell did you go? And I see the little door of the pantry open, and I'm like, okay, she opened that up. And then she pokes her little head out of the pantry and like looks at me like, hi, what's up? I'm like, what did you do? And miraculously, she hadn't eaten anything. I thought she was going to eat all the like little snacks and stuff that I had in there. But she was just like, no, I'm just chilling in here, this dark little pantry.
Yeah.
Just open it up and just hang out in here. Which I'd heard her like messing with it before. And I thought she was just like opening it and closing it. And I just told her like, get out. But apparently she'd been going in there and just hanging out. Like, what a psycho dog.
Sometimes it's enough just to be around food, you know?
I'm feeding her properly. She's going on plenty of stroll. She's literally right behind here, like kind of snoozing. I don't want to say the W word, otherwise she'll wake up and expect something from me or start barking at my neighbors. Who just like my apartment is like literally like right by the staircase, and so like every time anyone who's like in my little upper level, which is just two apartments, anytime they go up or down, it sounds like super loud because the stairs are like attached to my apartment. And this guy goes up, like, I swear, at all hours of the night, like went like up and down the stairs like three times between like 1 a.m. and like 3:30 when I finally fell asleep. I'm like, dude, like, I work crazy hours. What are you doing that you're like going up and down stairs at like 3 a.m.? Like, what are you doing? Stop that. Anyway.
Well, the question is, do you want to know what he's doing?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. He is a Texas Rangers fan. When I told him that I had a Rangers podcast, he's like, oh yeah, I kind of like the Rangers, but I root for the Astros when they're good too. And I'm like, okay, that tells me all I need to know about you as a person. Like, yeah. I'm out. I thought you were going to be cool, but I'm out. Also found out he's an Auburn guy. So I'm like, double out.
It explains a lot out. Though.
It really does. It's doing some sketchy stuff. I don't know. Maybe I don't even want to speculate, because that would be, you know, improper of me. But I do want to speculate about baseball and about Corey Seager, who right before we started recording this hit a 2-run home run in the playoffs and tied Justin Turner for the career lead for most home runs in the playoffs by any Dodger. And, you know, a lot of those home runs in the playoffs, they came in Globe Life Field. This man hit very well in Globe Life Field last year during the playoffs, when I believe they played it. Was it all of their games in the playoffs in Globe Life Field? I know it was at least the I think the NLDS.
Well, everything but that first, that weird first round of three, because those are at the home ballpark.
Okay.
But everything else was here.
Yeah, so the man, they had really, like, honestly, like, as much as people like hate the Dodgers, they had a really great like playoff. I forgot who they played in the round of three. Somebody who sucked.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, they were not that good. But then they beat the Padres in a really great series. They beat the Braves in a really great NLCS, and then the Rays. And like, that's honestly one of the better World Series I've seen, like, as a neutral person in a long time. I think maybe the best in, like, I don't know, this decade, because none of the other ones really stand out to me as like being that super great. Obviously, if you're like a neutral, like 2011 was pretty good. But like,
no, I mean, 2014 and 15 were pretty fun too.
Who was that again?
Those were the Royals back to back. 14 was the year that they didn't send Alex Gordon. That was
Oh yeah. That was really great. Yeah. That was a great series too. And then the I guess 2017, even though it ended up with the Astros winning.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And you know what? The year before, 2019, when the Nats got it. Like, that feels super random.
That one was awesome, yeah.
People are gonna forget about that one, but that was a really great series. Like, and it's so wild to me that, like, there's all these Dodgers. They, like, just got their first World Series, like, last year. But now it's, like, everybody on the Dodgers has a World Series ring. There's nobody that's like, oh, I really want this guy to get his first one. It's like, no, it's pretty much all of them. I think Chris Taylor was there last year, right?
Yeah. He's been there for a while, yeah.
And, you know, they made these big trades for, you know, Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. And it's like, oh, those guys already have World Series rings that they got the year before. So it's like, okay. But, like, nobody on the Braves, I don't think, has any. Unless there's a decent chance that Charlie Morton did in his, what, 30-year MLB career.
I don't know that he has. Because he hasn't been on many. When he was young, he didn't.
No.
On
I think many good teams. Did he win on the Astros? I think he did.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
I think that's where he got his first. Reference. Just looking this up real quick because it's going to bother me if I don't get that right. Yep, he did get a World Series in 2017. So, okay. God, he came into the league in 2008 as a 24-year-old.
And he was a bust for a while.
Yeah, he was the first year he had a below a 4 ERA was 2011. I forgot how bad he was in Pittsburgh. He was in Pittsburgh for so long. But anyway, I don't think the Rangers are going to sign Charlie Morton. Honestly, Charlie Morton is an enigma. He could end up anywhere. I think he just keeps doing his 1-year contract. He's going to keep
pitching. He already signed a 1-year extension.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for bringing it to my attention before I looked even dumber than I already am. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure often pointless, even seemingly intimidating questioning? While the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouses happen to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more on the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices at Rock Auto are always low and reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you need, so go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. I don't know how we got derailed on the Corey Seager talk, but, you know, it's the off season. It's the playoffs, but the Rangers aren't in it. So, like, if you're expecting, like, well-regimented, well-organized, very methodical podcasts
see us in March.
For the month of October and November. Well, I mean, I'm planning on having a lot of guests in November because there's going to be still 5 podcasts a week. And Grant, you know, isn't going to give up just all of his time to be with me all the time, which, you know, is a little rude on his part, but, like, you know, it's fine. I'll forgive him. It makes it more special when he's here, if he's only here so often. But anyway, obviously the biggest thing the Rangers are looking at this offseason is getting a star, signing somebody big, spending money, which we've already talked about how ownership hasn't spent big on a contract since Shinsu Chu signed a $150 million deal in what? 2014?
Yeah, before 2014, they got Chu and Fielder on the big deals.
Yep. And other than that, the highest contract the Rangers have paid anybody is Lance Lynn's 3-year, $30 million deal, which was an absolute bargain, great contract. But like, he was being picked out of the scrap bin for a reason. And that there's a reason he got that bargain contract, obviously making a lot more of that with his extension in Chicago. But that's going to be about the average annual value of these guys who they say they want to get this year. And I'm curious, because I've thought about, obviously, the big four. I don't know. I feel like it's just a big three. Like, sorry, Javi Baez. You've provided a lot of fun. But, like, I am absolutely terrified of spending $20 million a year on a guy like that. So you got Correa, Story, and Seager. And wild that Trevor Story, it says he has had a 6-WAR season this year, which is more than Corey Seager, which kind of baffles the crap out of me.
You're looking at B-WAR, I assume?
Yes, I think that's what this is. Okay. Oh, Seager only played 95 games this year. Okay, that makes more sense. That makes it make sense. Carlos Correa had the most of any of these guys with a 6.6 WAR season, 27. Obviously the youngest of the three, but has the most baggage, which with being an Astro and being unapologetically an Astro and what we didn't cheat, it's fine. And all the nonsense that comes with that. But the Rangers aren't going to be the only team that are looking for a shortstop. I mean, there are going to be some actual, you know, good teams that are looking for shortstops that don't have any and have some actual money to spend. Or some teams that are like, I don't know, close and will be looking for guys. I mean, look at the division winners. The Braves, nope, Dansby Swanson's going to be there for a while. The Giants, I don't know. I mean,
Brandon Crawford had a pretty good year.
He did have a really good year, and he's not that old. Like, he's kind of old. And I never know with them if they're going to spend money. Brandon Crawford is 34. Like, that's kind of old, but he had a really good year. Like, legitimately good. Like, a 895 OPS as a 34-year-old, like I just said, who played 138 games. Like, that's pretty solid. And I would bet they would bring him back. But, you know, you look at some of the other teams, the Rays, they've got Wander Franco. That's not happening. Tim Anderson in Chicago. The Astros, if they don't retain Carlos Correa, if they don't pay Carlos Correa, they're not going to go pay Corey Seager. Like, that wouldn't make any sense. And it's not like there's some guy on the radar. Like, I'm honestly surprised that it seems like it's this much of a, like, done deal that, like, Carlos Correa is going to go somewhere else. Do you see them spending money?
I just don't think Astros ownership is really interested in paying anybody, it seems like. Which is fine by me, but it seems like they're just going to let guys leave one by one, and eventually they're going to kind of fall off. It really feels like Correa is gone after this playoffs.
Well, you know, at least he's not going to be an Astro anymore, but he's still going to be Carlos Correa somewhere else. And
maybe here.
Maybe here. And that's been the talk, and that's I don't know. It just bothers me. And like, the Dodgers are got Trey Turner, so they're perfectly content to let Corey Seager walk, even though he's been so good for them for so many years. But like, you look at some of the other contending teams, like the Phillies, they've already got a lot of money tied up in players, and they're on the verge of competing. Didi Gregorius had a not great year. I'm not sure what kind of contract he's on. I mean, he was 31, played only 103 games, had an OPS under 700, and on base under 300. So really fell off from what he did with the Yankees. Just looking up really quickly what his contract situation is. Where we go? Okay, he's under contract for $15 million next year. Oof, that does not feel great. They paid him $12 million to be that bad this year. But I feel like the big destination, like, I keep saying all these contending teams, and like, obviously Boston, like Xander Bogaerts is going to be there for a while. Padres, I mean, Tatis, obviously. Yeah. The Mariners, I think, are like a low-key, sneaky destination for one of these big guys, because, I mean, they almost made the playoffs this year, and like, but they have said how much they like J.P. Crawford, and like, he had like a fine year. He's really good defensively. Had a 715 OPS.
they've got Noelvi Marte coming up to the system too. So I don't know if they're going to want a long-term shortstop. Maybe they're a better fit for like a, well, Corey Seager, because his brother Kyle is gone, where they can bump him to third base down the line.
Is he for sure gone?
Well, it sure seems like he's gone. It's not for sure, but they have not, at least from what Kyle has said, they have not communicated real well with him, and he's going to be a free agent, and he's probably going to be elsewhere.
This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We are back and better than ever in a new web interface to start the basketball season, and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 21 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is kind of wild because it seemed like he had such a good season. He had 35 home runs this year, and I'm going to give you an over-under on his OPS because it kind of shocked me. OP 35 home runs in 159 games, over under 750 OPS.
Well, based on how you presented that, I'll take the under.
I probably should have said like 730, but yeah, it's 723. Dang. Which is really okay. Hard to do. He had an on base of 285.
He pulled a Rugi.
Yeah, that is pure Rugi. Except Rugi, I don't think ever hit 35 home runs, did he?
He hit 30. Although these days that might be an Eugenio Suarez
30 to 32, for him. I mean, Mitch Haniger had the big offensive season for them. Oh my gosh, he was nearly their OPS leader. Ty France, how does Ty France do this?
I couldn't tell you, man.
Ty France had 18 home runs versus Mitch Haniger's 39. Ty France had an 813 OPS, where Mitch Haniger with his 39 home runs had an 804. Gosh, these guys really need some on-base guys. Ty France is their only guy with an on-base over 340. But anyway, so maybe them, not so much. But, I mean, the big obvious thought with who's going to go is the Yankees. Yeah, obviously it's the Yankees. Maybe the Reds? I don't see the
Cardinals.
Well,
they've got Jose Barrero who's going to be ready next year, you'd think.
Wow, is it really that open a market? Because I kept thinking, like, okay, well, this guy and this guy, like, the Mets obviously have their shortstop for the future. they are not going to be in on that sweepstakes. But I don't know, it felt like Gleyber Torres, like, just really fell off a cliff so very suddenly. Like, he's only what he's gonna be 25 next year. He's turning 25 in December. He's already had like two really great seasons, like as a 22-year-old hitting 38 home runs and an 871 OPS while playing some, you know, kind of pretty decent defense at shortstop. I mean, it's never been like great, but it was definitely like passable that year. This year it's been, I think, less so. Played a lot more second base as well. I mean, he had how is that only a 3-WAR season? A 3.6 WAR season as a rookie at 21, and a 3-WAR season as a sophomore at 22 in 2019, and a 0.8 WAR this year in 127 games. That is not great. Do you see him bouncing back, or are they like, all right, we've got to go big on spending money, even though the owners were kind of crying poor in asking the Rangers to pay for Joey Gallo's salary so they wouldn't be in the luxury task, which, like, if you're going for it and you're the freaking Yankees, why are you worried about the stupid luxury tax? So, like,
yeah,
is it literally just gonna be the Rangers that are the only ones throwing out these big contracts? Is that why it's like, well, not gonna take that much, but, like, well,
you know, the Yankees are saying they're gonna consider going over the luxury tax next year, so maybe they bite the bullet. I bet they get one of these three big guys. And I bet they get Correa, personally.
I hope they get Correa. Oh, my gosh.
And then I bet, I mean, what do you think about the Marlins? Because it doesn't feel like they are that many years from competing. They have payroll flexibility. They could use the shortstop. I bet they're pretty big players. And there's going, these players are good enough. Like, there's going to be a pretty strong market.
There's going to be somebody.
Yeah.
I guess the Marlins are like, they're kind of that like wild card. Like, I guess they're kind of close. Cardinals might actually, you know what? You know what I think? Somebody who's going to shock everybody. Detroit.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me either. They're not that far off from competing either. I feel like both the Marlins and Tigers are a couple years ahead of the Rangers.
Yeah, and I trust, I mean, Detroit's ownership has been more obviously willing to spend money than Miami, who sold off literally everybody from a team that wasn't that far away from competing. And just like, nope, you're out of here. Giancarlo Stanton, one of the best power hitters when he's healthy.
That was different ownership, wasn't it? That was before.
I thought that was right when they got him.
It might have been. I don't remember. You might be right.
But they've sold off other guys too, Marte, and literally anytime they've got like anybody who's like half decent, they're like, all right, you're out of here. You're out of here.
Yeah,
you're out of here.
The history of the franchise.
Yelich and they really had an outfield of who was it? Was it
Ozuna, Stanton, and Yelich?
Yeah, and they're just like, nope, we're out. Like that's half decent offense by itself with replacement level players around you. Like, you know how much I would kill for an offense of those, like literally just put those three on this Rangers team, like what they would have next year. And they might win about like 10 more games than they did this year.
Yeah. Easily.
Oh my gosh. It drives me insane. But yeah, I think the Tigers definitely need it. I mean, their shortstop this year was Nico Goodrum, 29-year-old who played 90 games, had a 651 OPS. Gosh, you look at this, like, I know the Rangers offense was like quite bad this year. You take a look at like some of the like the offensive charts here, like, oh my god. The really sad thing is Miguel Cabrera, 130 games, 701 OPS. Like that just sucks.
They didn't hit it real well. No. Remember early in the year, I mean, they were like historically bad offensively. But you know what?
They kept winning games. Like, that didn't make sense to me. Like, they started winning more games than the Rangers. And I think, like, I don't know, straight up talent-wise, I mean, Akil Baddoo, like, had some fun moments and really fell off a cliff, like, in the second half of the season.
I was happy to see Jamer Candelario have a good year. I liked him as a prospect. Jaime? Is it pronounced Jaime?
I think so.
Okay. Well, him.
They had some other guys. Casey Mize had a real dinger problem. 24 home runs in 150 innings. Tarik Skubal? I think it's Skubal. Had 35 home runs in 150 innings. 35! 2.1 home runs per nine. I guess that's right around where Folti Nevich and Jordan Lyles were. I think Folti Nevich was actually 2.4 where he finished the season, but like
he was incredibly far up there.
Good God. But like Willie Peralta had a decent season for him. I guess he's 32. Matthew Boyd, I don't know why they haven't traded Matthew Boyd like 3 years ago. He's 30. He had like an all right season. Like it keeps on being like every year. It's like, oh, this is the year of Matthew Boyd. I feel like I've heard that for like a decade. I really honestly feel like every year for like a decade, like, oh, is this a year they trade Matthew Boyd? Is this a year that blah, 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 blah? Like, oh my God. And like, I don't know, Spencer Turnbull was fun and interesting for them.
Until he got hurt, but he's a good arm.
Yeah. Casey Mize, former number one overall pick. Really, it felt like he pitched so few innings. Like, he did pitch 150. Like, that's pretty solid.
Look at this. Former Ranger Drew Hutchison.
Oh my God.
Threw 21 innings for them.
Former Ranger Derek Holland pitched in 39 games for them this year. I still can't believe that he's in the big leagues. Like,
and former Ranger Miguel Del Pozo.
Oh, yeah. Throwing out all the Rangers greats.
Look at that. Erasmo Ramirez, what is going on here?
I know, right? Nomar Mazara for 50 games. Did they straight up cut it? He had OPS under 600. Jesus, I don't.
He's bad, man.
Yeah, but like his fall from grace might be like the most wrong, like everybody has been on a prospect, I feel like. Because he was like, what, consensus, like before he came up, what was he, top 10-ish?
Yeah, like just about. There were a lot of scouts that had sevens on him. And
everyone's this is guaranteed to be like at very worst, like 800 OPS, like 25 home runs ish, DH, like probably definitely going to be a DH, but like he's going to be a solid middle of the order bat for years and years to come. No drama, no nothing. And then just like, I just don't understand baseball at all. I just don't get it. Now that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Hope you enjoyed my talk with Grant. We get into a little bit more of what we think is going to happen this offseason and all kinds of other good stuff coming up on the next episode of Locked On Rangers. Hope I'll see you there. But until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.